Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch Podcast. I'm your host, James, my co-host, Carolyn.
Hello.
And we've had to call in an extra person who understands musicals.
That's right.
Emma, thank you for joining us.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be here to fight for musical theater.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Emma is here to tell us if it's a good movie musical, since James and I are pretty much never fans of movie musicals. So we'll say, as a movie, it is bad. Emma will say, as a musical, she'll let us know if it is a good musical or a bad musical.
So, now, Emma, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you seen the original?
Yes.
Is this movie close to the original?
Were you going to say, is it as bad?
No. I wasn't going to say that. I haven't seen the original. I just know it's like a classic. That's all I know about the original.
It is certainly a classic. The musical's, been around for a long time. But this movie changed actually a fair bit from the original movie. But all of their changes I really enjoyed. For me, it made the movie more enjoyable in the musical. They changed some things, and it brought the intensity and the emotional level to a new heights.
Did they add any new songs?
They did add a new song, but it's not an original song.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
The first sung element in this movie is Labor en Kenya, which is the Puerto Rican anthem. But for this movie, they chose to use the revolutionary lyrics. Oh. So that was something that for me really stood out, because it's not in the original. But the choice that the first sung words of the musical are in Spanish and are the anthem of Puerto Rico.
Well,
okay, I
want to talk in a bit about the use of Spanish in this movie. But first, James, sure. What did you know about the movie going into it? Did you know the plot? Did you know any of the songs?
I knew nothing. The only thing I knew, it was directed by Steven Spielberg, and it starred a man who looks like a baby, who I'm not a fan of in general. I do not like Ansel Elgort as an actor. This movie did not change my opinion. I think he's quite bad in this movie, actually.
I agree. Emma, what do you feel?
So
everybody else is better.
100%. He was the weakest part, but that didn't bother me because I was here for Maria and I was here for Anita. Like, I was not here for him. Tony's never been an interesting character.
Even your mom said that.
Yes. Tony's character in general has never been what carries the plot of this film. Ansel was fine. His voice is lovely. But for me, like, he played a very much like a supporting role musically to Rachel, who plays Maria, and that's what he should be. I will say I have now seen this movie 3 times. By my third watch through, I was warming up to him. I was like, okay, I can appreciate you as Tony. My first watch, I was like, you can go. I don't need you here.
Matt, he's so boring.
I literally wrote, Tony, boring character. But also, I don't know. To me, he also rang phony. Everyone else kind of slotted into this world a little bit better than he did. But he seemed like the famous actor to like draw audiences, not as someone that I actually believed as that era. Like, he was putting on the accent. I didn't find him to be a strong enough singer. Like, his voice was like nice. But with Tony, he's supposed to be a lot more charming. And it's supposed to be a little bit less effortless and, you know, more punchy and hard hitting. And he literally has an emotionless face. Like, his face is so boring.
I think it hurts Rachel Zegler's performance, because she's having to play against him. And I didn't find any chemistry there between them.
Mm-mm.
I do think she's like, I kind of want to see her in a different movie so I can see if I like her or not. Cause I think this is her like first
It
movie,
is
right. Yeah,
she's young. She's only 20 now. She was cast when I think she was 18.
Yeah, she looks did this very straight young. School. And I think she's played Maria in West Side Story before in various productions and stuff. But she's straight out of school.
My favorite fun fact about her and the audition process, which took over a year, but she did play Maria at her high school production. But when she got cast, Spielberg told her in person she was cast as Maria in West Side Story, and she asked Steven Spielberg if she could please go finish her high school's senior musical, which was Shrek.
Hell yeah.
And she was playing the role of Fiona, and she was like, I know I want to do this, but can I finish Shrek first?
The balls on this like kid.
Okay, she's great. She has her priorities straight.
That's right.
Oh my God, so that's no, that's for what I knew. That's all I knew going in. Now I assume Emma knew everything, and Carolyn knew a little bit more than me.
I've seen the original as well, and I remember being excited for it because I liked musicals a lot better at the time. I like musicals on the stage. I don't like musicals
learned.
In movies. But the problem was, I always had a huge difficult connecting to West Side Story because the original came out Emma what the 50s.
The original came out in the original musicals was in 1957. The movie came out in 1961.
Sure. So it's a musical from the 50s, which means the music is boring. Like, not all of it. There are a few songs that are really good, and this movie did a better job of updating the music. But I found the original one really hard to connect with because I hate that, like, boring shit. It's so boring. And, like, all of the love songs are boring. The only fun song in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's true. The only fun song in this movie is, I don't remember the name of it. The America song.
America.
Yes.
It's
okay.
Iconic. It's iconic.
Yes. And that is actually a really fun scene. And it actually reminds me a lot of In the Heights and that sort of thing. But I always had serious difficulty connecting to this movie because I don't like the traditional female singing that is in this musical and is in other old musicals from the same era. I find it really boring. And this is Romeo and Juliet, which I also hate. So
what about Romeo plus Juliet?
That's the only good version of that story.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know we were just going to insult Shakespeare as well, but
I don't hate it. But the huge problem that I have with Romeo and Juliet and with this is that you are children, you don't know each other, people are literally dying because you're dumb. So that bothers me. It really bothers me. And like, there were points where they're like, oh my God, we're so in love. And then she was all like, Tony, please don't make our families kill each other. And Tony was like, well, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I'm like, are you stupid?
Great Tony there.
Well, that's, I probably could play this role better than him, honestly.
You could. You could.
Carolyn, you'd be an excellent Tony.
Thank you.
That'd be great. You're welcome.
So I, again, did not know any of this going in. And as I said, I am not a fan of Ansel Elgort in general anyway. And I do think that the other actors are trying their best and are doing like a mostly good job. But my issues with the movie is more around like the story of it that I found extremely fucked up and did not understand that this was, I was like, that's so messed up. Mostly like around the Tony and Maria relationship is when they, let's just get right into it. It's like when they have their sex scene is right after he kills her brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she knows it. And I was like, what the fuck? That like melted my brain. I was like, I probably sent Carolyn like 20 messages in all caps, like just like not understanding. And I was like, that's so problematic on so many levels. And then from there, I was out on the movie. And this movie's long. It's like over 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and like 40 minutes or something. Like it's a pretty long, long film.
Yes. And from then on, I was like, okay, I'm out on this movie because I just don't believe that these characters would make this decision. Now, I do think like the set design and the production is incredible.
Yes. Yeah. But that's a thing with movie musicals is they do that very well.
Yeah. Well, because they have the resources. I mean, they really set the stage. Like one of the things they did very differently from the original is they gave both gangs the context of setting them in the rubble that would eventually become the Center for Performing Arts. I'm forgetting the name at the moment. The Lincoln Center. So you're seeing elements of their building that. So it's interesting because in the original, they didn't quite give – the gangs are just rivaling. Wow. welcome to my brain. But with this context, they're setting them up to see they're both – the gangs' worlds are crumbling around them visually, as well as like in actuality. So it's interesting because you have these two gangs fighting over space that is being destroyed around them that neither gang has actual control over, and they're both being like evicted, which is a new context. They really gave that more depth and background to the setting of this movie as opposed to the original.
Well, this movie did really feel, you feel the New York of it. It's in New York, right? Chicago, New York, whatever. You feel the city of it.
It's in New York.
Yeah, you really do feel that vibe. And it really does feel like it's in that era. That said, for that reason, see, I don't remember the original very well. And it is interesting to hear you say, Emma, that it did change things up a bit. But in terms of the bits that stayed true to the original, it did make it a little bit hard to approach. In that the gang members, and I think this was very revolutionary for the time, having these gang members who are all like, you know, approaching each other, all snapping their fingers and stuff. It's really weird. Like
it's ballet, right? Like it's the dance rivalry.
It is. But I think at the time,
it is. Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
But I think at the time that was.
I think that works better on stage.
It does. And like, and man, I have seen some really cool stage fights where they're kind of like, yeah, flipping and doing these ballet and these dance moves and stuff. And I think that does work better on stage and in a different, partly in a different era. But yeah, in theater, you just have a different idea of things because you know all these people are dancers and they're dancing to like, they're dance fighting to the beat of the music and stuff like that. With this one, I felt like there's a bit of a disconnect between like what you could see on the screen, like the beats of the music. They didn't feel like they were as driving in the fights. And it is just really hard to suspend your disbelief when the whole world is built so well and looks so realistic. And then there's people snapping towards each other. And I think a huge thing, man, these people have the funniest accents and they're all really slim builds, which is really appropriate. It's appropriate for the time, but there have been such changes in the idea of masculinity in our modern world that these guys, these little dancing ballerina snap fingered gentlemen with funny voices, that is not what we see as masculinity now. And so it's really weird to think of like tough gang members as like these guys, you know?
I actually liked that, is that, you know,
yeah,
from that point of view, I thought that was like a good representation, is like it is more than just like, let's be all super buff. They all are super buff still.
They are, yes.
Like Bernardo's distractingly buff. Like when he's fighting Tony, it's like, yeah, this dude would beat Tony's ass. What are we talking about? Like, this isn't a close fight at all.
That's why I liked Riff, because that's his name, right? Riff?
Yes.
Because I believed him in the role, whereas Ansel, I did not believe in the role at all. I'm like, you're a modern dude stuck in a previous time. Whereas Riff, I was like, this guy's kind of edgy. He kind of freaked me out. Well,
I really like the contrast of who they like cast, the casting for Riff versus Bernardo, because you have a very different gang leaders that have their own gravitas and their own command of their gangs, but you have David Alvarez who's the ripped boxer, and then you have Mike Fast who's a little bit like slimmer dancer, very much a ballet
star. You can
call him
skinny. It's fine.
Yeah, no, but like he's very, I mean, he's dancer build totally, but it's kind of that interesting contrast because they're both gang leaders, but they bring a different command of the role to the table. David Alvarez was actually sought out to play this role. So he was backpacking through Mexico or Spain at the time. And they like went and pulled him out because he hasn't done anything in a really long time, but he won a Tony for Billy Elliot when he was 10.
Oh, wow.
And they went and someone in the casting remembered seeing him as a 10-year-old dancer in Billy
Elliot.
And
they're like, oh, let's
hope
he's not fat.
We need to go find him.
I mean, this is
also like, let's go find him. And they found him in the jungles of Mexico or something like that. Like, it was just so random.
This is his first, like, feature film as well.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
I just looked at
all of the characters except for Ansel and whatever Maria, her name is, and Corey Stoll, who plays the Lieutenant Schrank.
He's a very tiny role.
All of them are Broadway alum. So
I mean, Maria kind of counts, right? Like, or Rachel Zegler comes from a stage background as well.
Yeah, but not Broadway. She was a high school theater star.
She's completely untrained. Some of her first vocal lessons ever were on the set of West Side Story. It's truly a marvel. Yeah, she really did not have a lot of training before she did this. It's crazy.
How is she so much better than a trained actor?
She's so good.
He's not a trained singer.
It's there. And like Corey Stoll's like a very tiny role. I think most of the actors in this, with the exception of Anzela Gort, are like good or trying their best and are believable. I just find, like, for me, I just can't get over the rest of like the movie. Like I saw David Alvarez Bernardo and I was like, I want to see that guy in another movie. Like, I think there's something there. And Ariana DeBose is the best part of this film.
Yes.
And I just want to see her in something else. She's
the bullet, right?
In Hamilton. Yeah.
I have not seen Hamilton. So
I'm shocked, Jane.
She's really good at dancing in Hamilton. And that's something that you don't actually see as much in this movie, because I think a lot of the dancing is like skirt twirling. It's a very different style of dancing, I guess.
Totally. Her performance of America was like mind-blowing. They did such a good job. It's such an iconic dance. Like, that was originally done on the rooftop with Rita Moreno in a purple dress, and everybody who knows this musical knows that scene.
So yeah.
They took it off the roof, they went to the streets, and they really like revamped it. But like, her
they should do. Like, I don't think they should have ever copied anything like iconic. You have to make it different. As I think partly why I think we're all so hard on Ansel Elgort is that his performance doesn't match. He does suck, but his performance like doesn't match everybody else's performance. Like, he's going for a different thing. Like, the rest of them are stage actors doing stage acting in parts. Like, they're very big, and he's not doing that. Or if he's trying, I don't know what that is for him, but it's just every time he was like in a moment, it took me out of the movie because it just didn't match whatever his co-stars were doing.
He just looks like such a lovesick puppy, and in the worst way.
Also, I was just so much more interested in Riff.
Yeah. They gave Riff and Tony more background this time. Usually you don't get to see their friendship dynamic quite as much as you do in this film.
Riff is 1,000% just in love with Tony.
Yes.
Well, I liked that they gave background, because otherwise you're like, why is Tony, dear sweet Tony, hanging out with bad boy Riff? But this is the kind of film where the best characters are the side characters. The best characters are Anita and Riff.
Yeah. But I feel like it is very much still an ensemble piece. Like, as much as it's Tony and Maria, the love story, they don't have...
Literally, like, I could do without them.
Songs. Okay, except for Rachel, because she's a delight and magical, and her voice was wonderful, and she can do whatever she wants. She is great.
But she still does the boring songs.
Okay.
You know what this is for me, Emma? You've seen Les Mis, right?
Yes.
The movie or the play?
Both. Yes, all of the above. So whatever, the guy with the sheep voice, you know him?
Eddie Redmayne.
That's the one. Him and the chick that he's in love with. Help me.
Okay, helping you.
From Les Mis.
Is that Amanda Seyfried?
Cosette. Most boring scenes in the whole movie, because they're all like, oh, I love you. And it's like, it's so stupid. And then Eponine swoops in like Anita in this film and actually has things to say and actually has emotions that are not starstruck loveness. And that is the problem that I have with most musicals, is that the supposed leading couple is so boring. And their songs are just, they might sound nice from a musical perspective, but as a keeping my attention perspective, they just don't have a whole lot for me.
But it's not Rachel's fault.
No, absolutely not Rachel's fault. I think she did a great job in this role. It's just already a character that I don't love. She's the Juliet, and Juliet I don't love.
Okay, we get it. You don't like Shakespeare, okay?
Yeah, okay, Karen, stop it. This is a musical hating podcast,
not a Shakespeare.
I like Shakespeare. Here's a question.
Sure.
Well, not for you, actually.
Oh, no. I'm not ready. No.
Did you struggle with the songs in terms of, I know that sometimes you have issues listening to the lyrics of the songs.
Yes, I do.
Is that different, like, with a musical? Because I'm thinking about America in particular, because there is a ton of meaning, and like, it speaks to kind of the cultural climate of the time and also kind of now. A lot of that scene is based in the lyrics, and I think that's kind of what makes it great. I mean, it's a fun and exciting scene. Point being, were you distracted by what was happening on the screen, or were you getting the lyrics of the songs as well?
I didn't get any of the lyrics, but I know that's my problem. That's just how I do these movies, is that I cannot for the life of me retain lyrics of songs, or I'm trying very hard. I miss everything else. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. I don't feel like I missed anything, though, because they do tell the story through whatever is happening. But I mm-hmm. certainly it is not as impactful for me as it is.
Which is such a shame, because Sondheim's lyrics are...
Nerd.
Whoa. No, I'm sure. But that's partly why.
That's why I'm here, Carolyn.
It's partly why. And I knew the only song that I recognized in this is the, I was like, oh, this is where I Feel Pretty comes from. Oh, I never knew that before.
Wow. But actually, what's so interesting with I Feel Pretty is they moved where it used to be in the story. So it used to come before Bernardo's death, but in this film, they put it after. And why? So the audience knows that Maria is about to find out devastating news, but is in this love-struck, I feel pretty, she's having her giddy moment. But so the audience knows before she does. So you kind of feel protective over her before she's about to find out this devastating news. But originally it was before.
See, I don't actually know how I felt about that, because it was a bit in non-conventional, mm-hmm. which I thought was cool. But also I was like, ooh, what a jarring tone change, where mm-hmm. it's like sad death. And then all the girls are like, da, 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 life is good. And so for me, I don't know if I feel like it worked. Because yeah, when it first happened, I was like, wait, did I miss something? And then it took me a little bit to be like, oh, I see what they're doing here. And then once I figured that out, it was okay. Mm-hmm. But it did throw me for a second.
Yeah, I personally really like the choice, because I have such an in-depth knowledge of the film and the musical Nerd. Itself. I am here to be the musical theater representative. But one of my fun facts is that in that scene, they really struggled with some of the lyrics of being witty and bright. They're like, people don't say this. So what is a very small detail that, because I have watched this movie 3 times, in the background on the signs around the store as she's singing, say the lyrics. You'll see witty and bright, and they have some of these lyrics around in the background so that it gives context for why Maria would choose these words that otherwise an 18-year-old girl probably wouldn't sing.
Oh, right, because she sees them every day.
She's seeing them every day, so they're around her, but it's just, it's really subtle. And so it's just some of those fun little details that they really put in a lot of care and attention to kind of make sense of some of those lyrics that are from 1957.
I mean, I would say I'm pretty and witty and bright.
I would say that about you as well, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I disagree. I have a question around Steven Spielberg. Is that for part of this movie, it felt like he was doing an imitation of himself to me. The scene that specifically sticks out for me is when they're under the bleachers and there's 9,000 lens flares.
Yeah.
And there's other things where it's so Spielberg, the reflection in the puddle. And I understand Spielberg's changed cinema and is so much, but also he's still doing the same stuff, even though now it has become kind of outdated and a little, in my opinion, chintzy. Do you I don't know if you guys agree with me or that or not, but do you think this was he was the right director to do this movie?
I have a thought on this.
Share
it. Emma, if you have a thought, I'll let you think it first.
I would like you to think first.
Well, I also thought that those were also cheesy, and I thought I kind of laughed, especially at the puddle reflection. But
yeah, me too.
Weirdly enough, I don't think these were Steven Spielberg choices, because I was reading and it said the cinematographer tried very, very hard to replicate the lighting and camera style of the original. So I think, and Emma, you can speak to if these were in the original, but if that is the case and they tried to really mirror that style, then Steven Spielberg was the perfect director for it, because that was the style of the original.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much they were trying to mirror that style. I feel like Spielberg, to me, he has such a love for this musical that, and he's the one with the like, I don't know. I think he did a good job of bringing this to life and doing a reimagining of this musical and this story and really taking it to like bringing it into today and bringing it into the modern-ish times, even though we're still in the 1960s, but they did a nice job of updating. But I think he has the right pull in Hollywood, kind of, is what it felt like to me, to do this and be able to do whatever he wanted.
That's true. I just feel like, I don't know, I think I would have liked this movie more if it was a younger director making it.
Like Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Oh, God, no. That's the last person I'd
want to do this. But then he would have to be in it.
That's true.
True.
But
he would have to be Tony. You're right.
No, not Tony. He would be Bernardo because...
No.
He would be Tony somehow. Yeah. But
I mean, I could see why this movie feels to me like a Lin-Manuel Miranda movie already enough as it is. As a person who, like, I enjoy Lin-Manuel Miranda as a person, not as a, like, director or actor, personally. And I've certainly had, like, a more of a turn on Spielberg in recent years with, like, some of his comments and the fact that he's just, like, a full-on boomer. But I don't know. Like, he's still, like, the movie's still directed well. It's just, like, there's parts where it's, like, with the puddle and with the lens flares that it took me out of the film and I laughed. And I was like, okay, dude, I know it's you. You don't need to do this all the time. And that's where I ended up. And, like, I'm not a fan of this film at all, but I do think there are, like, as hard as I'm on it, partly because of Ansel Gordon Spielberg. Like, I do think everybody else in the cast is great, and I'll be fine with Ariana DeBose winning Best Supporting Actress because I do think she's really good.
It would really be full circle if she wins because Rita Moreno won for it in the 1961 version.
And I like Rita Moreno's in this film, and I think she's good too, and it was like nice to see her because I feel like I haven't seen her in a movie in like literally 30 years.
Mm-hmm. She was doing TV for a while.
90. I mean, for 90, she looks very good.
She also doesn't act 90. She moves around really well.
Yeah, it's just unfortunately for her, a lot of her scenes are with Tony.
Yeah, here's a question about that. Was Tony a mix in the first one as well?
What do you mean?
Is she his mom? Who is she?
No. Oh,
No.
No. So the character of Valentina was actually one of the new things they did. They wrote it for Rita Moreno. So originally, originally that's the role of Doc, who's the shop owner who takes Tony in to like help be a good role model. So they changed it and wrote the role for Rita Moreno to come in and play Valentina, who is Doc's widow. So Tony, they are not related. They are just, they've come to, like, Doc and Valentina came to take in Tony and support him through his prison and all of that stuff, you know?
Right. Okay.
So, I like her in this movie, and I think she's good, but she's also, like, a legend, so her baseline is good in everything. And I do think she would be better if she didn't have to share scenes with Ansel Elgort, and I don't know. I would maybe like to see the actor who played Riff. I thought could have been Tony. I thought that guy was. I don't. I'm surprised Ariana DeBose was the only one. He did.
Oh, he did.
They made a mistake. I'm surprised Ariana DeBose is the only actor acting nomination from this movie because I liked Bernardo as well, and I liked Riff, and I was like, I could see any of them nominated at least.
I'm glad if it's only one, that I'm glad it was Ariana DeBose.
Yeah.
If we could only have one, it should be her.
Yes, I agree with that. But I don't know. I still just, this movie's just, musicals aren't for me in general. And I can't believe I'm going to like say this, but I like Tick, Tick, Boom so much more than this movie.
Wow.
I convinced him to like Tick, Tick, Boom, Emma.
I don't like the musical parts in Tick, Tick, Boom, but I think Tick, Tick, Boom has so much more in it. And I don't like the direction of Tick, Tick, Boom either. I want to be clear, but I just think Andrew Garfield is really good in that movie, and I like him a lot in it.
He was really good. Yeah.
But I just can't, as I've said before, I just can't get over like the relationship part in this film of the lead. It's just so messed up in my mind. And then like the let's introduce a queer character, but also be a little transphobic at the beginning, but then they're accepted, so then it's fine. And I'm like, it's not, but okay.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was what's interesting about anybody's character is originally it's a tomboy, right? So to have like
that's to a have character a in the first one?
Actor playing that role. Yes, it's a tomboy. It's yeah, anybody's is a character from the original. So I appreciated the, like, at least we're updating it so it's not a tomboy. Let's have a non-binary actor playing this role and really, like, take it to a new level.
Yeah.
But I understand your issue with the relationship between Tony and Maria. But what's funny is this is at least better because in the original, Maria is supposed to be, like, 16. And in this, they made her 18 so that at least she was an adult.
How old's Tony supposed to be? Like, 22?
Yeah, something like that. But originally,
why are they all at a high school dance?
That's it's an 50s. Excellent plot hole.
The dances were all very important. But yes, I also wondered that because I was like, da, 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 da. And then I was like, these guys are all in their 20s, right? And then it was like, da, 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 high school dance. And I was like, sorry, what?
Like, I would like to think of it as like a community event. And I kind of think for the young folk.
I feel like it might be one of those things where some people of their gang are in high school. Like, I think the girlfriends are all in high school. And so the boyfriends go because the girlfriends are in high school.
Well, that's really problematic.
But they should have just made it a community event. You're right. Because it did feel like a town hall kind of dance, you know?
Yeah. I think that's my only thing.
People went to those.
I just ignore that part. That one line where they say this is high school. And I just am like, they mean community.
So, Jay, this is how you like musicals. You should ignore the relationship and ignore the age gap and ignore the
transphobia. Well, if it's 18 to 22, like,
that's
a little weird, but it's not 16. Maybe like another film that I talked about earlier.
Which one?
Pizza Licorice Pizza. 15 and 25. Yeah. Just make them adults and then it's still uncomfortable because Maria's so young. It makes sense why she's like character-wise, why she's like so taken with Tony, but I don't know. It's the way that entire like relationship plays out at the end of the movie for me. And then the fact that Anita like helps her and I'm like, okay, this man literally murdered your brother and essential husband. And now you're going to help him.
Well, the problem with Tony,
I just didn't believe the characters would do that.
But he did it intentionally. Ronaldo didn't mean to stab Riff. It was kind of an accident. But Tony meant to stab Ronaldo.
Yes. Or at least that's what they showed it in the movie. And
yes.
Like, I understand why Tony killed them after that moment, right? Like, I get it. Like, that character beat makes sense. But then for Anita and Maria, it didn't make sense for me.
See, that's so interesting. Because I love that Anita and Maria, that song, A Boy Like That, because the tension and the drama between the two of them's relationship, but that Anita's able to put herself at risk to go to the Jets for Maria. I don't see her as, like, she's not ultimately doing it to protect Tony. She's doing one final thing for Maria.
Because she's kind of her pseudo-mom.
Like they're, you know, like they have such a strong relationship. But what I mean, for me, the most beautiful scene in the entire movie is when Rita Moreno's character comes in and saves Anita. And it's this very meta experience because I believe the only scene that is truly a replica from the original. So Rita Moreno is the only one who understands what it's like to be in that scene. And you have this very meta version of Rita reaching out to her past self to help bring her out of this situation. And it's just, to me, that was the most beautiful, most powerful moment of the whole movie, is that connection to have this. Well, for Rita, like when she did this role in 1961, like there were so many problems with that. Movie and her being the only Puerto Rican in the whole film obviously is a problem.
Yeah,
but
this movie's already
to see
a win
her being able, because there's actually
Latinx people playing Latinx people. Yeah,
what? I'm shocked. But to, I don't know, for me, that moment of Rita, like, reaching out and, like, sharing that moment with, like, Anita's character and having that weird meta beautiful symbolism of protecting herself and reaching out to her past. And, like, it's just, for me, that was the most touching, beautiful moment. But also the power of Anita's character to walk into that room, right? And to know, but to do it for Maria. And then, but then to turn and kind of go, nope, never mind. These people are, like, this is, like, she has that turn and she has that, like, I'm going to tell you that Maria's dead, even though she's not. And I'm going to give the most devastating news. It's just, for me, the girls go through such, like, Riff, Bernardo, and Anita have some of the most dramatic character arcs and, like, just different levels to them that you don't get from the other characters.
That's fair. That's fair to say. I like that scene a lot.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, I was done with the movie, so.
You just have to watch them dramatically die in the street.
I mean, it's very, that's when I was, as I said, I was messaging Carolyn because I was like, I saw this movie, it was 2.5 hours, and I was like, oh no. And then it starts with, like, the snapping on the street, and I was like, oh boy, I know what I'm in for now. And then it's just that after this, I've said it before, but after that scene with Tony and Maria, I was just like, I can't, like, that scene is good. And Anita is, like, the performance is great in that scene and everything. And I liked it all, but I was so emotionally out on the movie at that point that I couldn't connect there because I was just like, I don't know. From the way that they presented Anita for the previous in the movie, like, I just think she would have, like, been like, fuck you, Maria, essentially. Like, I'm not gonna, like, get your head on straight. This man murdered a family member. Mm-hmm. So, like,
her brother.
I think you're in love with this person. Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't believe her character would ever go there for that reason. For me, now I do think the ending is good. Like, it gave the ending the movie deserved. Like, Tony doesn't deserve to, like, get out, like, run away with her and live happily ever after.
No.
I liked that, but it's just, I don't know.
Because we hate Tony, so we're all like, Tony.
Yeah. It was the whole crux, that point of the movie that I just can't get over it personally. And that's where I kind of end up on it. And even though I think there's a lot of good in this film, that ruined the movie for me.
See, I don't have a whole lot left to say, but the one thing I will say, which we kind of alluded to, is, like, this film did fix the major issue of the lack of Latinx people in the original one. And
thank God.
Something that I read that was cool too is that they really, really made an effort to show the diversity of Latin American folks, which is an issue that In the Heights was actually criticized for, is that, like, not all Latin American people are, like, one shade. You know, there is people with darker complexions, of more Afro heritage. There are straight up white people. There's people of all shades. And this movie made an effort to actually show all of that. And you can see that reflected in, who is it? The Sharks. You can see it in the gangs. And originally when Anita, Ariana DeBose, was auditioning, she thought she was too dark for the role of Anita. And everyone on the casting panel was like, no, it's fine. Like, that's the point. There is no look of what Anita should look like. And every single Latinx character in this movie was played by a Latinx person. And they were like, that has to be the way. That is our only rule. Doesn't matter what you look like, you have to be Latinx. And I really, really appreciated that they did that. Because holy, in the first one, the amount of brown face that was going on was not so good.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. They did a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that there's a lot of authenticity in that. There was a large group that was Puerto Rican historians coming to, like, give a lot of guidance and stuff to the cast to really understand what they were portraying. But they did a lot of work for that, which I appreciated. I mean, the casting call for Maria was an open casting call. That's how Rachel even got in. It was like 30,000 people. And she was the second person. She was the second person Spielberg saw.
You want that new face, fresh face, ingenue. And she was the only person that I believed was the age that she was supposed to be.
Because she was.
Exactly, because she is.
She's a child.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I don't know how old the, like, Bernardo and Anita are supposed to be.
Yeah, because it's like her older brother.
Yes, and I think there's a pretty... It's not close, I think. I don't think it's like 2 years. I thought it was like 6 or 7.
Well, yeah, because you can tell that Bernardo and Anita are kind of like the parental figures in her life. So yeah, you kind of get... It's like her much older brother and his woman.
Yeah. Also, I just... Yeah, I think there's more good in this movie than I initially thought. I was pretty sour.
Thank you,
on
Emma.
It.
Guys, I have many fun facts.
No, but I do think it's good that like when they have to do the movie, they actually like made it sure it was like Latinx people and there was like diversity and like inclusion. Was Sondheim involved with this?
Yes, he was. So he was involved in which is incredible. He's since passed away, but
yeah, I mean, he would have still been in his 90s.
Yeah, he was pretty old. But they did a lot. And even, I know, Carolyn, you alluded to this at the beginning, but the fact that they made the choice to not subtitle the Spanish.
Oh, yes, I did say we were going to talk about that. Yeah, so the reason Steven Spielberg did that is because he basically said, if you're putting it in Spanish and then putting English, then you're still making it English. Like, it doesn't allow the Spanish to be on equal footing with the English, basically. That said, I was watching it with subtitles, which was really weird because it meant that English was subtitled in English and Spanish was subtitled in nothing. And I was like, what's happening?
Same.
Here?
That's what happened to me too. I thought but my I feel subs like if were you broken. Watch it,
yeah, if you watch it without subtitles, then maybe it would have been less of a what's missing here. But yeah, they wanted to put it, they very actively made an effort to put it on equal footing because when Tony doesn't understand what Maria is saying because she's speaking in Spanish, if you don't speak Spanish, then the audience also doesn't, like the non-Spanish speaking audience members. And that is kind of cool because this movie is about the mixing of two cultures.
I like that choice. And also it's a thing where it's just like, even though I cannot understand their language through those actors' performances, I still understand what they're saying in the scene because they're using their body language to convey it.
You don't miss anything. You still understand like what the sense and overall, like what they're trying to convey.
Yeah, I think that's on the performers completely. That's kind of where I would be like, that's them doing like a great job. But I don't have anything else to say about this movie, so if either of you two have anything you want to say, then
I have
James,
one
what I'm hearing is you
fact.
Love it now.
Oh yeah, I James, completely James turned around. I'm gonna bump it up above Don't Look Up now. I have to go back and change my ranking.
Thank goodness. Okay, I have one final fun
Emma,
fact.
Do you have any more final fun facts for us?
One final fun fact. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so in the original film, Rita Moreno got to do the clapper of the final scene. So they thought it'd be fitting that she would get to slate the final scene of this movie, which the one they shot last was the Tony and Maria balcony tonight was their final scene. So Rita Moreno slates the scene. They do it once. It's flawless. But Spielberg... just didn't want it to be over. So they did it 14 times and Rita had to go and slate every time because they decided she was going to be the final slate. And she did it 14 times because Spielberg didn't want to let go. He was just, they'd had such a time making this movie that he just didn't want to let it go.
Oh, Steven.
That's
well,
my fun
fact. Okay, so... Thank you for being here, Emma. And
yes, thank
for
you.
Putting up with people who don't like musicals. And
we were patient. I think we were patient.
You know, yeah. I think it was fine. I you know, there was no screaming or yelling.
You guys were good with my musical theater nerd knowledge, and I was happy to come and share it with you both.
Thank you. So Emma, where can people find you on the internet if you want to say?
Oh, yes. You can find me on Instagram. I am EmmaFuller93, Emma.Fuller93. Wow. I don't even know. And you could try that on Twitter, but I am never on the Twitter.
Okay. And Carolyn?
Yes. You can find me at CarolynDunk93 on all of the platforms. Maybe we'll get into a little bit of a tweet battle with Emma about, you know, our favorite or least favorite moments of this film.
I'll reignite my Twitter for that.
I will stay out of that fight. You can find me everywhere at James Will, except on Twitter where the O is a zero. And you can send an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And the episode after this is our Oscar preview whatever thing.
Where we completely pan this movie again.
And not the only one. Not the only one, though. To be fair, it's spread around to maybe half of the nominees. Fair. And I'm mostly excited that now I don't have to watch a musical for 10 months.
That's true. We never got you to watch In the Heights, did we?
No, I'm not watching it. You can't make me. I've reached my quota of two. They're done now.
Man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you watched two.